Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Reality TV, the place where we come to air our dirty little secret of reality TV addiction together. From Bravo to TLC, MTV to Instagram stalking, let me be your guide into all the shows and people we love and hate. I'm Jody, and this week I'll be talking about 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days. I'll also talk a little bit about the web series TLC snuck in there last night that updates couples from past seasons. I'll also give you an update on Audge from Little People Big Ego and her latest Instagram hijinks for head pets. Start swimming down the Amazon with your Kevlar vest because 90 Day Fiancé is coming at you. The moment has arrived that I wait for all week long. Sunday night, TLC 90 Day Fiancé Before the 90 Days with our couple, Paul and Carini. Now, am I the only one that never fully registered in my brain? There are so many other things that your brain just gets assaulted with every week that I never registered that he's 34 years old. 34. Think what you are doing, will be doing, had done at 34 years old. He reads like a late teen, early 20s because his immaturity and just speed is not there. But we got to keep in mind, he's 34, she's only 21. Paul's still bullying Carini into taking a pregnancy test and an STD test. And it hit me that he might be a secret genius because they're still communicating with this app. Now, if he can persuade Carini into this kind of serious thing, like going for blood tests and pregnancy tests when he is not doing a damn thing himself, what else could married couples get away with by communicating via a translator app? I mean, the possibilities could be endless. I'm trying to think of things that my husband and I might be able to pull off. I know for sure I would be typing into that app, hey, I'm going to Target for 3 hours and bringing my Cartwheel app. And if I use my red card, I'll get an extra 5% off. And if he were anything like a Carini, he'd be like, okay. I could go over to Binny's and stock up on Kettle One just in case there's a vodka shortage. Okay. Say, hey, honey, you're taking the kids for the weekend. So I can watch endless episodes of Real Housewives of New York, Scary Island, on a loop. Okay, honey. I mean, what could you pull off in your relationship if Paul can pull this off with a translator app? Okay, so Paul and Carini, he's going to smooth things over with this little bump in the road by going on a ferry ride. And I can't be the only one that has been on a ferry before. Ferries smell horrible, and it's because of people like Paul. He has been sporting the same clothes and the same pants for days. He even swam in that nasty river with them. So he is the type of person that we can blame when we're sitting on those ferries commuting, just smelling the most god-awful stench. Or maybe it's like, remember that episode of Real Housewives of Orange County and Vicki Gumbelson was gagging and dry heaving? It's people like them. Let's point the finger. Let's just give them the ownership of it. So we're on the ferry with Paul and Carini, who is a saint, Saint Carini of Amazonia. And they're going to a resort that Paul has just graciously rented for he and Carini that he makes it sound like it's the Four Seasons, and it is not. It almost looks like a youth hostel meets a psych sanatorium. Did you see those hallways? It was scary. Like, I would not want to have to go get a bucket of ice in the middle of the night. And they get to the room. Paul has got his Rubbermaid lockers filled with dead bodies, or again, hairballs, or his He's probably got like a camping latrine in there, a lifelong supply of bug spray, heavy duty DEET. And we find him trying to unstack, unload these lockers. And Carini nearly saves his life because he almost goes down for the count underneath one of these things. So they are deciding they're going to take a little rest. And Paul lays down on the bed and his stomach and his chest is concave. And as I saw him lay down, I'm eating my trail mix from Aldi, which, side note, you got to go to Aldi. Their trail mix, a big bag, is $4.97. They have all different kinds of varieties. It's amazing. Go get yourself some. The more you know. Okay, so anyway, I'm looking and I'm like, I could pour my trail mix into his concave stomach and it would be a perfect bowl. You know, maybe that's what Carini sees in him. Like, he is handy around the house. Whenever I need a snack, he just lays down and I can have some snacks. I don't know, but it's still Paul, so that's gross. But anyway, this is really the reason why I think Carini must not have ever gotten a true vision and hearing screening, because I don't think she's seeing or hearing the same thing that we are, because she wants to lock it down with Paul now and become more intimate, like immediately. So they leave, run over to the clinic where a nurse is using a giant cartoon needle to draw blood from Carini. Meanwhile, Paul is in the DMV waiting room, probably counting the total of 37 calories that he's consumed that day and burned off 10 times over. Carini comes out, the saint that she is. She even holds the door open for Paul because he's about to fly away like Flat Stanley. They get back to the hotel and we get a scene of the back of his shirt, and you can just smell the body odor that is emanating from that mesh shirt. And poor Carini is in the backdraft of that. Like, how does she not? Maybe she didn't even get like a good olfactory pediatrician screening. Like, can you see? Can you smell? Can you hear? We need to get Carini some medical intervention as well as some psychological after spending weeks with Paul. So anyway, they go and lay down on the bed, and Paul has got to be like a secret, what they call furry plushophilia. Now, I'm probably in some sort of government database with the Google searches I had to do on this, but he must have some sort of stuffed animal fetish, because what guy is going to bring at least 15 to 20 stuffed animals to his 21-year-old girlfriend? Something's up with that, because she doesn't seem that into him, but he sure likes having them around. So of course, all the tests come out negative when he pulls it up on his phone. And Carini says what we're all thinking. I want to hit you in the face. Oh, it had never been such a satisfying caption to read on the screen than when I read that. Thank you, Carini, for speaking for all of us. So now, even though they're going to be intimate, I mean, there's no easy way around it. All of us were cringing. I know I could barely keep my eyes on the screen. And Paul tells us that it's been more than a decade since he's been intimate. And more of a decade, I think maybe he means like 34 years. Are we thinking he's a virgin? Do you remember that show? I'm pretty sure it was on TLC, where it was virgins marrying. No, not the Duggars. The same kind of idea, but no. It was couples that had never kissed or made sweet love. And there was a couple that kissed for the first time on their wedding day, and even their parents couldn't watch because they started kissing like a mama and baby bird feeding each other. It was disgusting. And that is exactly how Paul just tackled Carini and went in for the kill. It was so awkward, and it's the last we see of them in the episode, so hopefully Carini survived that. But truly my hope out of all of this is that Paul has trademarked his image, because Halloween is just around the corner and skeleton costumes are hugely popular. All right, let's see what's up with my fellow Midwesterner, Courtney. She's flown all the way to Malaga, Spain, and she tells us that the flight was exhausting, matched equally with Antonio's speech issue when he says, "I ju bu pageant." So apparently Malaga is the Sandusky of Spain because he's dropping the ends of words just like Danielle does. They're hurrying off to the beauty pageant and they decide that they're going to take a cab and they're talking in the back seat. Courtney is clearly just ticked off, exhausted. She needs a shower, some dry shampoo, some dry spray, and it's not going to happen. So she's just ticked. Antonio is oblivious of this and keeps asking her, "Are you excited? Are you excited?" And the one time he actually speaks clearly, she doesn't understand him. She just simply responds with a Lydia of Real Housewives of Orange County, big doe-eyed, slow blink, blink, blink. So he's telling her he doesn't really understand because she's not very caliente. Well, you know what? She is too. She sounds exactly like Vicky Gunvalson, the OG of the OC. She has a caliente sign, her very own kitchen, don't you know? I mean, it just writes itself, you guys. And you know what, Antonio, a real good way to get someone to warm up is not to have the cab driver just pile on with you and keep telling someone that they're frio cold. You know, if I were her, I'd be like, well, I am now, slut ass, bitch ass, skank ass whore. Good night. Thanks for lending that to me, Chantel. That just fit perfectly there. So they get to the beauty pageant and Antonio could just care less about actually, as he would say, being a jury member. He could care less about judging and he's just taking selfies the whole time. Should be no shock to anyone because if you look at his Instagram, which is Antonio Milan, but it's spelled M-I-L-L-O-N, like million without the I. He's just got pictures of himself left and right. It's a little try hard. So while he's taking his selfies and being a jury member, Courtney decides she's going to leave and she texts him. You know what? I don't blame her. Airplane air, it's not good for the pores. I would be an oil slick. And if you're visiting a guy for the first time, you got to keep those breakouts at bay. You don't want to be putting on your, you know, oxy and cream all over your face with your bad breakouts. So I don't blame her. I'd be out of there too. I also see the other side of the story, though, because what is Antonio supposed to do? You know, male Botox doesn't pay for itself. He's got to make some money somehow. So as Courtney is leaving with her baby Bjorn backpack, she's wondering aloud, "I wonder if I made a mistake." Just now you're wondering? Her first mistake was buying those Skechers shape-up shoes, just period, and then pairing them with that halter style neckline on a cotton jersey dress. Courtney, a world traveler, no, it's not the first time you've made a mistake. Luckily, Antonio finishes up. He runs out to meet her past that. Awesome for this lady. There's a lady boss entrepreneur in the background. Did you see her? She was selling those plastic binoculars. And I started thinking the way that my crazy brain does. That is like genius marketing because in Europe, Central America, South America, those beauty pageant markets are a tough competitive circuit. And those girls up there do not want anyone seeing their lace front wig mishaps on stage, their extensions sticking out. So to sell plastic binoculars to the crowd, genius. Good for you, lady boss, entrepreneur. So anyway, Antonio's running after her and he apologizes enough for Courtney to forgive him. And she just basically invites herself into his apartment and says, "Well, yeah, I'm staying with you. I didn't book a hotel." Now, he sounded just as surprised as I was. And I don't know if it's that he truly didn't know that she was going to stay with him or if he was just surprised because she was acting frío y entonces caliente. Thank you to Senora Mejia for my high school Spanish proficiency in reality shows. But, you know, she was hot and cold. So maybe that's why he was just so taken aback, as all of us were. So we get to his apartment and then we see it. The bunk bed. Oh, did anyone else have an instant panic attack? Because I did, and I had to drink about half a glass of wine in one gulp, because every one of my childhood insecurities just flashed all over, because no one over 97 pounds should be made to sleep on the top of a bunk bed. I mean, I would be that girl that would get up there and the studs from the drywall would just buckle and it wouldn't be able to sustain me. And I mean, let alone the view of my cellulite climbing up that ladder. Unbelievable. So Courtney decides to make Antonio sleep on the world's most uncomfortable IKEA couch that is conveniently located next to his wall decal. Did anyone else see that? If there's anyone else who is bilingual or more proficient in Spanish than I am, please go back and translate that, because I'm dying to see if it's one of those like live, laugh, love, what that saying is, because that wall decal is suspect to me. So he's sleeping on the couch and she's telling us in her testimonials that he picked the wrong girl if he wanted to sleep with her. You flew around the damn globe, Courtney. What do you think he's going to think is going to go down, especially after you just invited yourself to his apartment? So he changes into his pajamas and he's wearing these tiny little black bikini bottoms. And Courtney decides to put on, womp womp, a modern twist on a Midwest muumuu. And then she has the gall to say, well, he has to earn it. Earn what? Like gingivitis? Anyone else? I mean, there's a gum situation that needs to be addressed with her teeth. She needs some orthodontia, a periodontist, some gum reconstructive something. I know it sounds so mean, but I mean, come on, we're grown adults here. Like, get on it. She's got to have dental insurance or at least still be on her parents. Okay, well, speaking of just ripping into her, on comes a Jenny Craig commercial, and it's as if Jenny Craig herself was speaking to me, and I was like, okay, I get it. It's time to put the trail mix away. It's time to stop on the white wine, at least move on to a smaller carb-heavy drink like a vodka tonic. I get it. It was God's way of just telling me you're a horrible person and you need to lose some weight. So there's my karma. Okay, so we get back from commercial break and me crying because I've eaten too many peanuts and raisins in my trail mix. And we hear giggling in the bunk bed. And I'm thinking, oh no, this isn't going to be good. Courtney's makeup is going to be a mess because she clearly didn't wash it off last night. No girl wants to be seen without makeup for the first time on the first night together. But no, it's not them reading STD results as foreplay like Paul and Corrine. They're taking selfies. Ugh, you guys, they deserve each other. They're just horrible. I don't like it at all. They just don't act like adults. She's in another confessional telling us why she won't sleep with them because she doesn't want to make a fool of herself. Too late, screamed the entire nation. Courtney, no. So she decides that she's going to FaceTime her parents because that's what every guy wants to do the morning after he's been with a girl. Well, I guess they really weren't together, but you know what I mean. And pretty certain, again, I'm a Midwest girl, so I'm pretty certain her parents probably just finished making some mustard potato salad, picking some cukes from their garden, and Antonio's being the bad boy that he is and grabbing her butt. And he's like gripping hard too. Like, it wasn't even playful. It looked a little aggressive. And when they get off the phone, she tells him that she doesn't like that. And she starts reading texts from his phone, which again, first day together and you're already sneaking into his phone. Come on, Courtney. And she starts reading off what sounds like the lyrics from Mambo Number 5. You know, she's got a text from Erica and Rita and Tina, and he's got an excuse. And we leave off with Courtney looking like Audrina Patrice with like those ceiling eyes. And I'm not always a fan. Again, this is my Jenny Craig karma right here. I'm not a big fan of filler, but Courtney could use a little filler in the upper lip. Okay, I feel really bad, but I feel better just saying it out loud. Now, currently, I looked at their Instagrams, and they are messaging each other like crazy back and forth. But shocker to no one, they are not even in the same country. So I have a feeling that this is going to be the first and last time our Midwest girl makes it out of a small town into the big city of Spain. Okay, you guys, it's time to check in with our little tender-hearted little baby love, Larry. Now, last week I likened Larry to a theater performance actor of The Little Rascals. I'm going to amend that. And I now see him as a storybook-friendly ferret. Oh, yeah, let's just go with that, settle in with that thought for a little bit. Now, Larry is going to spend 21 days together with the love of his life, Jenny, who, crazy as it sounds, he just can't get a hold of her since he left home. He's been texting, he's been calling. I mean, we're all shocked, right, that she's not answering. She's probably not answering because she's in the same voodoo clinic baptism that Abby was at, getting treated for some sort of disease she picked up from the last American guy that she's scamming. But Larry's just not worried about it. He's sitting in the airport. He's got his white hat sitting right on top of his head, just like my 80-year-old dad or Gary from Teen Mom. And he's telling us once again in his confessional that he's got all his eggs in one basket here because he's cashed in his 401k. I'm not really too worried about it because I think he could at least find a part-time job because he's wearing a bright, crisp red t-shirt, just like the Target employees in this confessional. So at least he's got, you know, something to fall back on if he ends up coming back here, which, spoiler, I think we all know that he's going to end up back here without her. So he can't wait to run to her, and he's hoping that she kisses him, and he says, and I quote, "It would be ultimate." Yeah, like he just ends it right there. Finish your sentence, Larry. Like you need a verb, an article, a noun, an adverb, something in there. He does that a lot. Pay attention next episode. He'll start a sentence and then just midway through you're waiting for it and then he just drops it. Oh, probably like everything else in his life, he drops the ball. Oh, Larry, Larry, Larry. Okay, so he arrives at the airport. And of course, unlucky Larry, he's the last to arrive at baggage claim. And you hear him and he says, "Everybody got bags." And he looks around and his are not there. I mean, it's like, huh. I think we're just screaming like, "Oh, Larry." Like, of course, this would only happen to Larry. Only Larry would have none of his shit arrive. And, you know, it's like a, like, you know, he looks around like he's a lost middle schooler that like took too long in the bathroom and now he's like rushing to find his chaperone on the field trip or something. He has this lost look. You know what? Actually, he needs, you know, like the Duggars have to have a chaperone on all their dates when they're courting each other. Like that's what he needs. He needs a full-time Duggar chaperone. All right, let's like start a GoFundMe or something, a chaperone for Larry. Okay, so he asked the airline employees where his bag is and they said, "Oh, sorry, it's going to be 1 or 2 days." Now, it's probably going to be more than 1 or 2 days because he doesn't leave any information with these airline employees. And I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt and say like, "Oh, maybe it's just something we didn't see off camera," but it's Larry. Like, you know, we just need to start like a hashtag, "God damn it, Larry." Like, "God damn it, Larry, I want to love you. I want to root for you, but you just can't, like, just use your brain, Larry. God damn it, Larry." Okay, so then he says the one word that all reality idiots say at least once. It's real frustrating. No, the word is frustrating with an R. It's frustrating to hear you say frustrate incorrectly. It's the same with conversate. You always hear that like, "Oh, we conversate." No, it's either you converse with one another or you have a conversation. Same thing with across. It's not acrossed with a T. It's just across. Okay, sorry. You can hear like the elementary school teacher part of my personality coming out. Okay, I'm going to try to reel it in here. All right, so God damn it, Larry. He walks out of the airport and there is Jenny. She's wearing the same color nail polish as Karini, which anyone else see that? It's like little red flag, little baby blue flag on the nails. So Paul goes over. Oh my God, I just called him Paul. See, they're all weird like that. Larry goes to kiss her and she pulls an Abby. She's dodging his kisses. She's pulling away like hugs, like so their bodies don't touch. You know, if you ever had like a creepy uncle or something or a relative and you didn't want your bodies to touch, you kind of do that like, you know, leave room for the Holy Spirit kind of hug. And then we see that Jenny has a teeth situation. Not a teeth situation like Courtney. Jenny's teeth kind of have a like a rainbow bowed shape to them. And she knows it because she's not smiling at all. And you know, maybe this is a theme with TLC shows because there's a lot of dental orthodontial problems. Maybe TLC Discovery has like a really good dental plan and that's why these people sign up for it. Or maybe it just happens that way. Like it's just faded that way. Anyway, so Larry tells Jenny that his bags are lost. And all of a sudden you see Jenny. She gets suddenly concerned because clearly she was hoping Larry was going to be bringing her 190 pairs of panties for her to sell. So now she's like, oh God, this is not good. What am I going to do with this guy? Because I can't steal his stuff to sell. Larry starts twitching. He's starting his sentences and dropping them and ending them abruptly. And again, this is like the teacher part of me that's coming out. Reminds me like when I would run into old students of mine and they'd be in middle school, high school, and they just had that awkward, like they didn't know how to talk. They get all nervous and they had like no sense of improv or anything. And that is Larry. It's so awkward. So awkward, in fact, that Jenny tells him, just relax. And then we see that Jenny, just like Abby, this girl, she has done this before. She even says he's not like other American men. Like she knows that most American men would go there, have some kind of swagger to them. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to now own this girl. Kind of like Mark and Nikki. Do you remember from last season when he like basically bought poor Nikki and brought her back because he's her owner now? So he's not like other American men because he's got no game. And Larry is gripping and holding her hand in like a sleeping with the enemy grip. He's not letting go. And you could tell she is just mentally counting down, like tick, 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 counting down these hours and days until that luggage arrives. And she can sift out all that Tommy Hilfiger outlet mall stuff to sell. So it's time to leave. Larry is dropping candy like he's throwing a one-man parade and trying to play it off and act all cool because there's other guys around. And I really think Larry needs not only a Duggar chaperone, but he needs a Britney Spears-style conservator. And I will volunteer. I will step up and do it. I'm not moving. So he would have to move here, but I'll step up and do it. He needs someone motherly, but he also needs to have someone tell him, like, you got to buck it up, get your shit together, Larry. God damn it, Larry. Okay, so quick little update. Right before I recorded, I found out that through multiple channels of just some awesome web sleuthers, there's some YouTube footage that has surfaced, and he has a history, goes years back, of making, and I hope there's some fans of The Office out there, of making Michael Scott from The Office type movies. Do you remember Threat Level Midnight, that episode with Agent Michael Scarn? Well, this is the real deal. Larry, God damn it, Larry, he is making YouTube videos, high impact, high drama. It's a lot to watch, and it is absolutely hysterical. I'm going to put a link on my Facebook page if you want to check it out. Go to my Facebook page, Welcome to Reality TV, and get a load of it. Okay, let's move on to our next couple. here we are, Patrick and Miriam, our last couple of the episode. Patrick, I want to like you, man, but I just can't with that blouse. Every time I see it, the button just keeps getting unbuttoned further and further. It's going to be flying away off him like a Michael Jackson video pretty soon. So these two, I always thought that they had more of a friend vibe than a lover vibe. Just their body language right out of the gate at the airport was just more of a yo, friend, dude kind of thing. And you can see it in the cab because Miriam is practically scaling herself up the window to get out of the car. They show up at another amazing outdoor cafe, like Take Me Away Cafe Ole. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but I just want to be there. Now, Miriam had an outfit choice that stuck out to me. I love that she is no frills, doesn't care that a camera is there. I wish I had that confidence, but it's just not an outfit that you would choose to wow someone. So that was kind of in the back of my mind. Like, I wouldn't pick something like that to be picking up the love of my life who flew across the world to see me. So, you know, I don't know, just outfit Miriam is, look at me, I'm Pedro now, outfit Miriam. Outfit Miriam, I'm not a fan of. Now they're sitting down and Patrick is like ADHD, hyperactive. He needed to slow down the enthusiasm. Like, that would scare me away. What that says is me as a person, as a woman, maybe I have some issues of my own, but him being that excited and that into her was too much. It was a little scary. Now we're getting to the scene. TLC's playing the music, the dun-dun-dun. What's going to happen? We know Miriam has a secret. And I started to think, okay, Miriam, she's into girls. She's bisexual. Maybe she's a lesbian. Because I started getting that same vibe off of Patrick. So in my mind, my imagination starts running wild. I'm like, well, maybe they met because they're both like bisexual and they like were attracted to each other. Hey, cool, whatever. But then we find out, we come back from break, and I'm actually stunned because Miriam says she has a boyfriend. And my heart just dropped for Patrick because I think we have all been there in some way, shape, or form, some shade of it. We've been there before. You know, I would expect this on Catfish, but not my show. And I feel bad for Patrick. I feel bad for Mother Letty. Just, oh God, like he's gotta just feel like such a fool. So they say that they've been talking since 2016. And she didn't really think he was serious when he said, oh, hey, I'm going to come out, fly out to see you. She says she was thrown for a loop. He's a fabulous guy, which, I mean, really, you have to say fabulous guy. He's wearing that blouse. Like, that's not fabulous. It's not. But that was nice of her. But she begs him, please don't go home. Well, Miriam, he can't really go home. He's probably spent at least $2,000 on a ticket, plus he's paying for his own hotel room. Like, I really like her. She seems like a nice girl, but she could have told him right after he booked that ticket that, okay, I didn't think you were serious. I don't think you should come. Maybe have to pay a fee to get the ticket refunded. But, you know, especially because the cameras are there and rolling. At no time did she ever think it was maybe just a nice thing to do to tell him that she has no interest in him. And that's where I wonder how much production actually influences these interviews, whether they told her, no, don't tell him yet, don't tell him yet, it'll be much better, oh, he'll be fine with it. But how embarrassing for Patrick. But even more embarrassing for Patrick are those red jeans and again that CeeLo Ward blouse. And the red jeans to me triggered me because I had in college a crush on this kid in one of my classes, and he kind of had a crush on me. And I'll tell you what, he showed up one day wearing forest green colored jeans, and that was it. That was the end of it. Done. Like, crush over. Nothing was ever the same again. And I'm thinking maybe Miriam is me. Maybe she doesn't have a boyfriend. Just the clothes, the red jeans in and of themselves offended her so much that she just, closed up shop, went cold turkey, she's done. That was pretty much where they left us. They didn't give us too much juice after that. We know that next week, Patrick calls his mom, Letty, on FaceTime, and Letty, it just is what all of us were last night, like a, huh, what? Just her facial expression cracked me up. And with that was the end of the last scene for 90 Day Fiancé. Next week, we start seeing the cracks form and Darcy's fantasy life with Jesse, and we get to finally meet Abby's mystery man. I cannot wait. Now, TLC really teased us here because I thought there was going to be a two-hour episode, but instead they gave us just a taste of our 90-day fiancé before the 90 days and left us with the leftovers of their already published web series, 90-day fiancé, What Now? I'm just going to do a brief run-through from least interesting to blow your mind dirty gossip. So stay tuned till the end, because if you haven't heard what's going on with one of these couples, you are missing out big time. Alan and Carol Yam, I didn't even see them the first season. So she's Brazilian. He learned Portuguese. She's fascinated by self-checkout at the grocery store. They're happy and she's pregnant. That's about it. We have Narkia and Lowo, who didn't even appear that much on the original season. She's a single mom who met Lowo on a plus size dating site. He catfished her in the beginning and she got the red flags because he was lying about his whereabouts, his location, and his son's mother, which isn't that red flags, like just about everything that came out of his mouth. But that wasn't enough punishment for Narkia, and she makes her way to visit him in Vietnam, where he's going to, quotes, school. Yeah, he's 40 if he's a day, so he is not going to school in Vietnam, but she's still buying that lie. So when she visits him in Vietnam, she smashes an ice cream cone in his face because she caught him in another lie about his baby mama. Fast forward, she's forgiven him, and now we find her waiting at the airport with her poor son, who is just a witness to all this dysfunction. And she says she's really not worried because even though she has lingering insecurity, she has more hope. Okay, Narkia. Oy, oy, oy. I don't want to give away too much because, of course, I've already dug in deep to this web series and I know how it ends. All right, let's move on to Melanie and Devar. Now, just when I was missing Sandusky's little darling, love, 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 my Beth. My deep, loving devotion to Beth. TLC gives us Sister Bev. Of course, we have the recap of how Melanie and Devar met in Jamaica, Bev's disapproval, and we have a big surprise, you guys. Not only does Melanie have a horrible brunette dye job, stay blonde, Mel, stay blonde, we find out Melanie's pregnant. Now, Melanie and Devar try to convince us that it's the perfect time for her to be pregnant, even though Devar is on and off at home 4 weeks away, 4 weeks home, and he's becoming a diving instructor. I have concerns for this couple because he seems quite a bit of a ladies' man, and I hope it's not a case of how you got him is how you lose him, because that is how Melanie met him, was he was a flirtatious diving instructor at a resort. And that's exactly what he's going to be doing here. They seem happy now, so let's cross our fingers for them. Really nothing too offensive about them except for her home decor. All right, moving on to Matt and Ala. I could not love Ala more. I just want to be her friend. I want to be her support system here in the States. They give us a flashback of her coming to the United States from the Ukraine with her son Max, and Matt is a little bit of a disaster, kind of a little bit of Larry, actually, and he's on his fourth marriage. So Alice's his fourth wife. He's had quite a rough go at life in general, but we find out that they're pretty happy together. Matt reminds me of Michael McDonald, the actor from Mad TV, his character Stuart on Mad TV. I'll find a picture and I'll post it on my Facebook page because he's a dead ringer. Ala's still that sweet, I guess she's not a single mom anymore, but she's sweet, but she's also very strong and she can stand up for herself. They're going to be moving and Ala is making a transcontinental drive every day to go to esthetician school. So Matt is finally thinking of giving up his lake house to find a house that they can both be happy in together so that her son Max can be near friends. And they really honestly need to move closer to the city because they need to go back to that t-shirt shop where they got their matching t-shirts, their I Love Ala, I Love Matt t-shirts with the personalized silkscreen photo on the front. Most adorable dorks on the face of the earth. We end with friend Patrick being the world's biggest asshole and proudest chauvinist. Ugh, this guy just needs to go down in flames. Speaking of going down in flames, the reputation of Josh and Alexandra. I really hope you guys have heard the same rumors as I have. Holy shit, you guys. Now, this is all allegedly. I do not need the Mormon church finding me and going at me, okay? This is all allegedly. Now, Hillary Swank, Josh, met Alexandra on a mission trip. And Alexandra was, just like the old story goes, a go-go dancer with a heart of gold. And she converted to Mormonism for Josh. Josh has that FLDS, Duggar, stay sweet voice. And that leads me to believe that they never truly consummated their marriage. Now, these two try to make it sound like their biggest storyline is her braces and him trying to get into med school. But no, here is big juicy gossip right here coming at you. Now, the reason that they blur the baby's face out in this web series and on her Instagram now is that she was posting pictures and their baby, Kaya, is clearly, allegedly, biracial. From the baby's skin tone to her hair, I mean, we're talking this baby is not all Caucasian, okay? You guys, there's nothing wrong with that. But this baby is not Josh's. Now, when people started calling Alexandra out on this on her Instagram, she started only taking photos with the baby with the hood on or with a hat on. Her face is always obscured. Alexandra tried explaining in, I don't think it was interviews, I think it was just her Instagram and Facebook, that the reason that Kaya has such dark skin and hair is because her parents are part Hispanic. Well, we know from watching the original episode and also from photos that she has posted, her parents are even more fair than she is. Now, it came out, people did some amazing digging and found photos of just at the same time that she would have conceived this baby, she was on a trip with a travel companion and best friend who is a black man. Now, if that is not coincidental, I don't know what is. My theory is that this whole reason that she wants to get the hell out of Rexburg, small town, is that this is a small town and they're not buying the story of the baby being born just by chance, a completely different race. And of course, Hillary Swank has never given a comment. Very interesting. Update on the one and only ever born baby to the one and only ever mother to have ever been pregnant or given birth. Audrey Audge Roloff gave birth on September 10th, and after her mother-in-law Amy spilled the beans and then deleted her announcement on Facebook, the attention-hungry, essential oil-loving couple announced the name. Ember Jean Roloff. Yeah, let that sink in for a minute. Ember Jean Roloff. Now, Aj has been on her Instagram stories claiming she's only had 7 hours of sleep in the course of 6 days. Yeah, right. Oh, okay, Aj. Meanwhile, Jer has been doing DIY projects around the house, renovating, grocery shopping, and doing everything else. Aj was also very vocal about having an all-natural birth, which it's just going to be the first of many mommy war antics that she's going to participate in, willingly participate in. Now, here at Welcome to Reality TV, we wish her many tux pads and ice packs filled with naps of leaking boobs and enough organic cotton bandanas to fashion together into a twee banner announcing their new line of beating 50% of moms to baby Ember's first milestone. Wraps up another episode of Welcome to Reality TV. Many thanks to the Lady Pod Squad for welcoming me in. Check them out on Twitter, on Facebook as well. Thank you to all of you listeners. Please keep letting me know what you're watching so I can join you. Find all my social media links at welcometorealityv.com. You can find all those links on the website, but on Twitter, it's at RealityTVPod. Facebook, Welcome to Reality TV. And find me on Instagram, Welcome to Reality TV as well. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.